Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about being a faithful servant. We need to think about manners. Manners involve modesty and humility. Now, what is modesty? Freedom from excess or exaggeration. That temper which accompanies a moderate estimate of one's own worth. The absence of self-assertion, arrogance, or presumption. Freedom from undue familiarity. Now, I know that many of you think of modesty as having something to do with women's dress. It does that too, of course. Oddly enough, I don't think I have ever in my life heard a word from the pulpit about the modesty or immodesty of men's dress. Strange, isn't it? We often relegate questions of sexual purity and modesty to women as though it had nothing to do with men. But this particular kind of modesty that is going to affect our manners and the way we treat other people is not referring specifically to clothing and the flaunting of one's body, which is immodesty. I'll read the definition again. It means freedom from excess or exaggeration. So if we wear excessively attention-getting clothes or exaggerated colors, perhaps we need to think, is this modesty? Modesty is that temper which accompanies a moderate estimate of one's own worth, absence of self-assertion, arrogance or presumption, and freedom from undue familiarity. This is something that I do think we need to think about. Do you automatically call people by their first name? Not everybody expects to be called by their first name. When I was growing up, we were taught that we never addressed an older person by his or her first name unless we were specifically asked to. And if we were asked to, it was rather unusual, and I always found it very uncomfortable. And to this day, I would not dream of calling a stranger by his first name unless he asked me to. It sort of gives me a shock when I hear a hairdresser or a person in the service industries, waitresses, calling people by their first name. Now, of course, if the hairdresser or the waitress happens to be a friend of yours, that's a very different thing. But let's pause and ask ourselves, are we unduly familiar without a proper warrant? Now, this matter of dress. The book that I've been reading from, Robert's Guide for Butlers and Other Household Servants, says this: let your character be remarkable for industry and moderation, your manners and deportment for modesty and humility, and your dress distinguished for simplicity, frugality, and neatness. If you outshine your companions in finery, you will most inevitably excite their envy and make them your enemies. Do everything at the proper time. Keep everything in its proper place. Use everything for its proper purpose. Now, those are three good rules that you could put on a little card and stick up in your office or your kitchen or your workplace. Do everything at the proper time, keep everything in its proper place, use everything for its proper purpose. If you're trying to write those down, all you need is the first word of each of the three lines and the last word, and you'll be able to remember the rest. Do, keep, and use, time, place, and purpose. Do everything at the proper time, keep everything in its proper place, use everything for its proper purpose. Never think of any part of your business as too trifling to be well done. I have a tiny little card posted in the bathroom that says, "Nothing is little if God asks it." Roberts goes on to say, "Eagerly embrace every opportunity of learning anything which may be useful to yourself or of doing anything which may benefit others. Place yourself in your master's situation and then consider what you would expect from him if he were in yours." Back to this question of dress. When you look at the advertising, characterized by flamboyance, aggression, sexual ostentation, frank and shameless immodesty, and vulgarity, it's really a wonder that we Christians can find anything to wear unless we make it ourselves sometimes, isn't it? In fact, I was recently sent some tear sheets from high fashion magazines in which the message was very loud and clear on every page that they were promoting lesbian relationships. Shamelessly, ostentatiously, vulgarly. And if Robert says that these things are inappropriate for a house servant, how much more are they inappropriate for the servant of the Lord? You and I are not to draw attention to ourselves either by being first to appear in the very latest fashion or by being a frump, careless, sloppy, and dowdy. The rule is simplicity, frugality, and neatness. I think those are excellent rules for us Christians. He gives us such practical advice here. Let your master or mistress scold ever so much or be ever so unreasonable. As a soft answer turneth away wrath, so will silence, or a mild answer be the best a servant can make. Who of us has not had the experience of being treated unreasonably? The great question is, what is our response? A soft answer or resentment, bitterness, a retort? If your employers are hasty and have scolded you without reason, bear it patiently. They will soon see their error and be happy to make amends. You know, in order to bear something like that patiently, you have to really believe that God is in charge. He doesn't allow anything to happen to you and me that doesn't have a purpose, that doesn't have a lesson for us in it. Bear it patiently, and I love what he says here, they will soon see their error and be happy to make you amends. Muttering on leaving the room or slamming the door after you is as bad as an impertinent reply. It is, in fact, showing that you would be impertinent if you dared. Muttering on leaving the room, slamming the door after you. Who of us is not guilty of having done that? Or even just sighing, if not muttering. Your mother asks you to do something, you children that are listening to me. Do you sigh? Even that is not really what God looks for in his faithful servants. A faithful servant will not only never speak disrespectfully to her employers, but will not hear disrespectful words said of them. Apply direct to your employers and beg of them to explain to you as fully as possible how they like their food fixed, whether much or little. Of what complexion they wish the roasts, of a gold color or well-browned, and if they like them frothed. I have no idea what that means, but maybe somebody out there does. Do they like soups and sauces, thick or thin, or white or brown, clean or full in the mouth? I presume that means maybe thick. I don't know what they're talking about there, clean or full in the mouth. What accompaniments they are partial to, what flavors they fancy, especially of spice and herbs. It's impossible that the most accomplished cook can please their palates till she has learned their particular taste. This, it can hardly be expected, she can hit exactly the first time, However, the hints we have given here will very much facilitate the ascertainment of this main chance of getting their favor. And surely there are many things here for us wives and for you husbands. It doesn't take us very long to learn the tastes of our spouse, does it? I learned very early in the game that Lars not only will never eat a peanut butter sandwich, he will never even smell peanut butter. Now, does that make sense? He likes peanuts. He eats peanuts when we're on the plane, but he will not touch peanut butter. Well, fine. So I don't give him a peanut butter sandwich. I have to think of something else. And that's not always easy, since I make a peanut butter sandwich for myself practically every day for lunch. But his particular tastes are different from mine. He grew up in Norway. He grew up eating something which I think is absolutely dreadful called kumper. I don't know if any of you Norwegians know what kumper is, but it looks like it's about the size of a softball, weighs, well, I would say 2 or 3 pounds, and it's a ball made out of potatoes and flour with salt pork in the middle of the thing, and then it's boiled. Can you imagine a ball of flour and potatoes boiled? He thinks it is absolutely out of this world. And when we go to Norway, first thing he asks Bjørg, his cousin, to make is some kumper. Well, what flavors do they fancy? How do they want their meat? What kind of sauces do they want? A thoughtful servant is a faithful servant. A faithful servant will be a thoughtful servant. These are simple, practical rules, and they apply to us as we seek to serve God, to be stewards of His gifts, careful and not careless of one of His most precious gifts, which is time. Do we waste time? Maybe we'll think about that a little bit tomorrow.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.